The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Beasley switches it in! The U.S. go up! What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra!
Lloyd will try a long hit! What a goal from Lloyd! This is spectacular! It's hit with no regard for humanity! Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute! That was worth the price of admission alone!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome in, everybody. On the heels of the Killer Bees, truly, this is a week of excitement in the world of soccer in Houston, Texas, because we have the impending visit of Lionel Messi and Inter Miami coming on Sunday night. The most recognizable athlete on the planet? I believe so. He'll be here on Sunday at Shell Energy Stadium taking on the Houston Dynamo. Stream at ESPN975.com. And we also have the phone number at 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. So just like when I call a soccer game, when a goal is scored, you lay out. Well, when they're testing the alarm system in your building, you also lay out. So check out the alarm system. I don't know if you can hear it. All right, that was a really weak attempt at humor. Okay, so I got Messi tickets tonight. We're going to give two pairs away. You have to be ready, and you got to be ready to go here tonight. We also have the former Houston Dynamo head coach, Dominic Kinnear. 20-year anniversary, I'm saying to myself, I'm not seeing enough about Dominic Kinnear. Let's get the legendary Dynamo coach on and get some thoughts from him. He's now an assistant at FC Cincinnati. Behind the glass tonight is Abigail Hong, and it is Daspit Law who brings us the soccer talk on the radio each and every week. There were some results today. Brighton Hove Albion 2-1 over Bournemouth. Crystal Palace 4-1 over Aston Villa. There is a log jam at the top of the Premier League. And then Chelsea knocks off Southampton 4-0. So a big, big crushing win there for Chelsea today. So the log jam at the Premier League, you know, to get into the Champions League places is pretty incredible. You got Liverpool, obviously, right now with 11-point lead over Arsenal in second. Nottingham Forest at 47. But then check this out. I believe Chelsea now jumps into fourth. And then you got Nottingham Forest on 47. You've got Nottingham Forest, Chelsea's top four now. Then you got Man City, Newcastle, Bournemouth, Aston Villa. All of them have 42 and 43 points. So it's quite the race. Liverpool seems to be the best team in Europe right now. Real Madrid may say something about that. Today, Barcelona and Atletico Madrid in a 4-4 draw in the Copa del Rey. So a reminder about Lionel Messi this week. Tonight, Messi and Inter Miami are going to be playing against Sporting Kansas City. This is the CONCACAF Champions League. This is a separate tournament to Major League Soccer play. It's on FS2 at 7 o'clock. So if you want to watch that, you're going to be hoping and praying he doesn't get hurt before he comes to Houston. I put it out on social media. Who is the most recognizable athlete in the world to you? And I know we got some people talking about people. I'm going to say let's make it current now because there were a lot of good entries and we'll read some of them. Who is the most recognizable athlete in the world right now? And, of course, Messi's going to be in there. 713-780-3776. But if anybody's got any ideas from other sports as well, maybe it's Djokovic in tennis. I mean, he's pretty much a global superstar. So there you go. All right. Let me recall and remind you how many times Leo Messi has played in Houston, by the way. All of this with Argentina. So in 2015, he played in a friendly against Bolivia, 7-0 Argentina over Bolivia. Messi had two goals. Year later in the Copa America semifinals, you may have been there. I was there. Argentina knocked off the United States national team 4-0. What was important in that game was that Messi scored a remarkable free kick that made him the all-time leading goal scorer for Argentina. He was tied going into that game with Gabriel Batistuta Batigol. 2024, 8 years later, comes back to Energy Stadium, Copa America quarterfinals. Argentina wins, advances. They beat Ecuador, but they beat them on penalties to get into the Copa America semis. Beat Ecuador 4-2 on penalties. That's when Emi Martinez made some of the critical saves in that one in the shootout following a 1-1 draw in regulation time. Messi and Inter Miami this weekend, 2-2 draw against New York City FC. Even with 10 men, they controlled this game. That's how good they are with the ball. That's what the Dynamo calling card is a possession game. Now, if they're going to concede possession to Inter Miami and Messi, that means, I think, if they want to be successful, they have to have some sort of a transition game. And I don't know how good the Dynamo transition game is right now, because they do like to play that methodical style. But that is how you can hit Inter Miami, is when you finally get the ball off them, you can hit them on the counterattack. And that's how they conceded goals last year. So we'll see if the Dynamo, you know, with a vertical game. Maybe Jack McGlynn's the guy who can unleash the potential of somebody. I mean, from a pace standpoint, it's Aliyu Ibrahim, maybe Sebastian Kovalchuk, but I don't think the Dynamo vertical game and their transition game is necessarily in their realm of calling card. And that, to me, is the best way to attack Inter Miami. And I think a lot of people say the same thing I am. 2-2 draw with New York City FC. He had both the assists. Remember the first leg of the CONCACAF Champions League against Sporting Kansas City. 3 degrees was the temperature. Everybody's saying, oh, he's not going to play. It's too cold. They're from Miami, yada, yada, yada. Well, what does he do? He plays. He's the GOAT. He scores a winning goal. He beats like four guys. And, you know, he's one of the most competitive men on the planet. I don't think there's any question. Now, after the 2-2 draw this weekend, altercation with the referee from Messi, and then an assistant coach of New York City FC. He apparently, you know, I don't know if he grabbed his neck, but he put his hands around the neck of this assistant coach who might have said something to him. I don't know what happened there. But it's Mehdi Bellucci, who played in Major League Soccer. Bellucci didn't do anything. Mascherano said, quote, I don't have too many things to say. It's difficult when you are on the pitch, da-da-da, and sometimes you think things are not going the right way because sometimes you can see mistakes from the referee, whatever. Difficult to control emotions. Whatever. This happened after the game, and there were people today saying, oh, my God, you know, he's going to get suspended. It's like, folks, he's not getting suspended. As long as he doesn't get hurt tonight, he'll be here in Houston. But he's not going to get suspended. And what I said earlier in the day was he'll get a slap on the wrist and he'll get some sort of a fine or something, and that's it. He has been fined an undisclosed amount by Major League Soccer for violating the hands-to-face head neck of an opponent, even though this was an assistant coach. So whatever. But for those who were panicking, geez, let me walk you off the ledge. There's no way he's not going to be available in Houston unless he gets injured, because the Dynamo is an organization in a centralized league deserve to get their cake with Lionel Messi too. And there are still tickets available, and we will be giving out tickets tonight on this show. Okay, so we move on. It's exciting he's coming here. He's the current World Cup holder. He's done everything in the game. He's been here 3 times, as we mentioned. He was outstanding the other night. in the 2-2 draw with New York City FC. Looked excellent in that game. One thing to keep in mind here is that Aviles, who scored and is one of the center backs, will not be available. So when they went down to 10 men, Sergio Busquets dropped off and kind of played as a center back. Fafa Pico went off earlier in that game, the Houston Dynamo player of the past, and he went off injured. He was replaced by Robert Taylor. So, you know, the thing is can you get Inter Miami to defend in transition? And now they're going to be down a center back. It's an area of their team that hasn't been considered to be the strongest. But then again, the Dynamo transition game is, you know, it's not the strongest either. So I think this is going to be a really interesting tactical sort of matchup. But that, you know, Jordi Alba, Busquets, these guys, they're competitive. They're competitive. And they know all the eyes are on them and they have to be competitive. And with 10 men, they took the game to New York City FC. That's certainly something that I felt that, I saw in that game. All right. I move on to Christian Oliveira. He left LAFC 10 days ago. He went to Gremio for $4.5 million. This was according to Goals TV. Now, what Oliveira said was that his national team coach, Marcelo Bielsa, told him to leave Major League Soccer. And Oliveira then quoted Bielsa saying, "Bielsa told me to leave because MLS is a league that makes players lazy." Take it for what it's worth. But that's what Bielsa said. So Oliveira is going back to Brazil. And he's going to play with Gremio. And by the way, Brazilian soccer is physical. It is challenging. And that's something to always definitely keep in mind. It was a weekend in Major League Soccer that, you know, everybody was excited. It was the opening weekend. Of course, we got blessed with really poor weather here. But boy, I'll tell you, that was a hearty group of Dynamo fans that made their way out to the game. The Dynamo in this only concede three shots on goal. They make two huge mistakes, and that costs them the game. Andrew Tarbell had only one save. They had 56% of the possession. They had 11 shots, three on target. 27% of their shots on target. 12 teams in the league had six or more shots on target in their games. Inter Miami being one of them, even with 10 men. Short, medium passing in this game. The Dynamo linking up, no question. The balls over distance, they were about 50-50 in my mind from what I saw. Statistically, I think they said it was 54%. So I was close there. But I think you want to be in the 60s when it's hitting long balls. And this is going to be important against Inter Miami again. Because if you have an opportunity and you recognize that you can hit them in transition and you get runners going in behind them, you have an opportunity to score goals against them. But the Dynamo have been used to playing a very controlled type of game. So I don't know if, you know, they're going to work on transition in this game. They certainly got a player who can hit that ball. That's Jack McGlynn. Artur, I think, can hit it as well. But you got to get runners in behind him. And if you can get Inter Miami overcommitted and you recognize the moments to hit them on the counterattack, you could have real success. And then you're going to probably have to be pretty selective in the press. You're going to have to defend for longer periods of time. And I think a big, big key is what is the health of Franco Escobar and Eric Svechenko going to be? Are these two veterans who you need in a game like this, are they going to be back? That is a real big piece of everything leading up to this game on Sunday. I don't think there's any question. So they will have to slightly change or alter the tactics in this. And we'll see where Nico Ladero comes. Does he come off the bench again? Do they start with Aliyu? But the way to score more goals is either changing or altering your tactics, getting a little more width, finding a transition game. Maybe it's through individuals, Jack McGlynn, Nico Ladero, or another DP down the road, with Ladero on the field, you got to get it to his feet around the box because he's the guy that can make plays in these small areas, but actually make plays that lead to goals and assists. There's a lot of really technical dynamo guys high up the field. This guy, though, can make plays that leads to goals and assists. And then you heard Ben Olsen talking about spacing, box organization, getting numbers in the box, proper delivery, people hitting different spaces, you know. But the real question, I think, for the coaching staff and Ben Olsen remains now, how does this become a better goal-scoring team? Because if you score a few more goals, you can be afforded the opportunity to make mistakes sometimes. And these were big mistakes in the opening game. They happened around the league. You don't crucify these guys. It's not the end of their careers. It is the first game of the year. And if you looked around MLS, the beauty, or I think Alexi Lalas calls it the romance of playing out of the back, which is kind of funny. But personally, keep playing out of the back. Opponents, because it does make the game interesting, because it does lead to mistakes. And I'm not saying that on the standpoint of the Dynamo. We don't want them to make mistakes. But that is something that's not going to change. It's funny how trends in soccer, just like in other areas in life, just they all follow each other, right? All of a sudden, we've got inverted wingers. All of a sudden, we're playing out of the back more. And that was aided by a rule change, obviously. Less contentious goal kicks. You know, people smashing skulls, second balls, dueling. You know, it is what it is. Coming in hot. This is a Peter Tosh song. And great Peter Tosh. I was a big Tosh fan. I saw him once at the Ritz in New York on East 11th Street. I had to wave my hand in front of my eyes through the whole show. There was so much medicinal herb being smoked because that came along with Peter Tosh. But boy, did he have a band. And he came out in this white, glittery kind of jumpsuit. But he was fantastic. Hey, worked with the Stones, too. Cactus Music will be happy that I said that. Vinyl, CDs, get down there. It's Cactus Music. That's the place to go. Go down there, see Quinn and the staff, and they'll get you hooked up. I think I'm going to shoot a video there on Thursday promoting our Thursday night show. Just to get in among the records. Also, Nico Nico's Greek and American Cafe. Quick little hit here, a World Cup hit. By the way, Nico Ladero played in two World Cups for Uruguay. He was on the team in 2010 that ended up in fourth place. Nico Ladero, now a member of the Houston Dynamo with Uruguay, played in two World Cups. Pretty phenomenal. He is now a Houston Dynamo, and we are hosting World Cup 2026. And this is going to be the biggest sporting moment in the history of Houston, Texas. That brought to you by Nico Nico's Greek and American Cafe, Lamb Shank, souvlaki, gyro, you name it. Incredible soups. Three locations, Woodlands, I-10 in the Beltway, and the original on Montrose.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. You know what, Abigail? I must have given you the wrong song. That was not Little Wing by Stevie Ray Vaughan. I felt like it was in a speakeasy there for a minute. It's okay, though. It makes great radio.
Right?
So does an alarm going off during our show, too. So apparently some of the listeners are saying, yeah, we heard the alarm, but we motor on. That's the beauty of radio. Quick word here for the presenting sponsor. By the way, when I say this, they help you get on the air, okay? This show is dependent upon sponsors in order to have soccer on the air, and of course, a station that loves a game of soccer here at ESPN 97.5. So, big shout out to John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, personal injury attorneys. They're going to work for you. Car, boat, motorcycle, you name it. Maybe you do construction. Maybe you're an 18-wheeler driver. Certainly wouldn't want that job. That's not easy. But if you are and you get in an accident, nobody likes it. Nobody wants to get in accidents, but you do get the best. It is the Daspit Law Firm, daspitlaw.com, 713. Call now. All right, 20th anniversary of the Houston Dynamo, 30th of the league. But if we remember and we go back to 2006, an amazing San Jose Earthquakes was gifted to the Houston Dynamo, or became the Houston Dynamo, was gifted to the city of Houston. Things were a lot different then, but the man who was the architect of the back-to-back titles in 2006 and 7, he joins us now, currently assistant coach at FC Cincinnati. He is Dominic Kinnear. Dominic, thanks for coming on tonight.
Glenn, it's a pleasure talking to you. It's been too long, and I certainly miss you, my friend.
Yeah, it's a nice reunion. By the way, you heard what I was saying to Abigail, my producer, because I know you're a guy that loves the blues, so I was trying to come back with Stevie Ray Vaughan and Little Wing.
I did hear that. I appreciate it. That was a great one.
I was going to do a little Robert Cray for you, but I wanted to slip it up. But anyway, this is your segment, and I really want this to be about you and talking about the time you came here to Houston and everything. So just initially, 20 years, Dynamo, through your lens, Dom, just some thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, it's we talked a little bit yesterday, Glenn, as you know, and it's an emotional conversation for a lot of people, especially myself, and I do speak to a guy from MLS about it. And when we found out the team was moving to Houston from San Jose, and I'm a Bay Area guy, and it was really tough for me to leave, but then look at the team and how good of a team we had, and then the question was asked by this gentleman, Sam Jones. He said, "Well, why did you end up going?" And then I said, "The reason, really, the selfish reason was I couldn't see anybody else coaching that team at that particular time. I felt I was such a strong part of that group that I would be so jealous and upset if somebody else coached them. So it really was the strength and the force of that group that brought me to Houston, And when we got there, it ended up a great 9 years, So had no idea about the city of Houston. Obviously, I knew you from previous conversations and dealings in MLS. I knew nothing about Houston, but, the times we had, especially the first, couple years and the other two MLS Cups and some, championship games at home and away. I wouldn't trade any of that for anything. It was just such a wonderful time for myself and especially for my family.
You were a young coach at the time too, Dom. I mean, you had inherited the team. Frank Gallup, I think, if I'm correct, went on to coach Canada. You were his assistant. You and I used to chat on the field when we did HDNet broadcasts with Marcelo Balboa while you were warming the team up. You got the head coaching job. How difficult was that from being an assistant with all these guys to then being the head coach? Because that's a little tricky, right?
It was really difficult, because, Frank won two championships in 3 years in San Jose, so to follow him was definitely difficult. 2004, we barely edged into the playoffs. 2005 was a little bit more of my team. We made a couple of really good trades between the 2004-2005 season. That was, we got Brad Davis into the team. Ricardo Clark was brought into the team at that time, too. To go from being assistant coach to being a head coach is completely night and day, and it consumes your whole life. It certainly is difficult. After the first year, I did inherit a winning team. We fell off the pace a little bit, but that 2005, we won the Supporters Shield, and that for me was, gave me the confidence to know I could walk into a locker room and not only survive but drive a team forward. So the first year was definitely a learning curve, and 2005 for me was, because the team was successful and the moves we made paid off. It really gave me the confidence to feel that I could be a good head coach in this league.
Was it hard for some players to accept now you being a head coach? Because, you do have to change, right? I mean, you are the leader.
Yeah, it's difficult. The relationships change for sure because, as an assistant coach, you're more of a helper. You're an assistant to the head coach, but on the other side of it, you form some pretty good relationships with the players. It's a bit more of a friendlier position. And then when you become a head coach, obviously the one making the decisions on who's playing, who's not playing, and it becomes a lot more difficult. But I think the one thing I learned from Frank that I carried with me was as long as you were honest with the players, they may not have respected so they may not have liked the message, but at least they respected because they knew it came from a sincere place. And that for me was one of the most, beautiful things I learned from Frank Gallup was just the amount of sincerity and empathy he had for the players on a daily basis. When I carried that forward, even though the relationship did change, I think that one thing I carried and it did make the situation a little bit easier.
Boy, and when you talk about Frank and guys like yourself, you are salt of the earth guys, and Frank Gallup is certainly that as well, and I know you're great friends with him. Talking to Dominic Kinnear, he's now the assistant coach at FC Cincinnati, but he was the architect of the two back-to-back championships. Houston comes to the city in 2006, Dom. You guys are wondering where you are. Go on to win two titles. This city was ripe for the return of professional soccer, certainly through my lens. I knew that. And, I mean, it was just a really unique thing at Robertson. It was very intimate. You guys all were still, I think, in a different era of the game in this country where you wanted to get out in the community and work for the fans. And did you feel still then you were still kind of growing soccer as well?
Oh, the good thing about going from San Jose to Houston was we went from Spartan Stadium, which you know very well, yep, to Robertson Stadium. So it was a little bit similar, a small football field, very intimate. Still growing the game, you know, and I think back of you know, some of the players, Craig Weibel was doing his Bold or Beautiful campaign.
Yep.
Brian Ching doing his, you know, building houses in the community, and there was others. And I know a lot of players worked with you on your cancer program. So I think these guys, they knew that soccer wasn't nearly there yet, and I think they did have an appreciation for where it was, also where it was going, and knowing the importance it had to, you know, reach out to the community. And, you know, days are different now. I mean, the game has changed a lot more. But I think when you look back on it, it was a special team on the field. But I think even more important was what a great team and wives they had off the field to really kind of, you know, blend into the city and become a part of the Houston fabric, which I thought was amazing.
Yeah, it was amazing. I mean, I could ask people through the organization, and everybody'd say yes, and they'd show up, and it was phenomenal. And it was also a great way of people getting a real, I mean, I think that team had so much personal connection with the community, and that led to the great relationship. Biggest game at Robertson that you remember in your mind as far as crowd intensity and all of that? I'm sure it's probably a playoff game.
Yeah, I mean, God, there were so many, to be honest with you. Yeah. The first game stands out because, you know, what a way to introduce ourselves in the city of Houston. You know, Brian Ching with his four goals and just the great play of, you know, Brad Davis, Brian Mullen, you know, Eddie Robinson, Craig Weibel, you know, the list goes on, Blake Barrett, you know, a great introduction. My personal favorite was the Colorado playoff game that took us to the final. And even though we went down 1-0, and I mentioned this the other day, and it's still to this day my favorite Dynamo Bowl was Brian Mullen's game, the goal in the final. Third goal, a beautiful play by Brad Davis to release Alejandro Moreno. Alejandro Moreno with the outside of the right foot across the back post, and Brian Mullen, one of my favorite Dynamo players ever, comes in with a sliding,
yes,
smashing volley, yes, into the lower corner.
Yes.
And it just, the place exploded. I don't know how many people were there that night, but it seemed like it was about 100,000. So that would be my best Dynamo goal. And then my second in the new stadium was Kofi Sarkodie's goal in the playoffs against DC United. It was the third goal of that game, I think. And it was the loudest I had ever heard the new stadium become. And just talking about those right now, it puts chills up and down my spine. Those are just wonderful moments and things that I will never, ever forget.
When you mentioned Mullen sliding at the back post, that play just replayed in my mind. And then I think, remind me if I'm right or wrong here, but was it Kofi Sarkodie cutting in on his left foot?
No, it was a half-cleared corner, and the ball broke to Luis Camargo.
Okay.
And Luis Camargo kind of drilled by a guy and found Kofi, and Kofi took a touch and hit on like a half volley low into the corner. And it was we got a little bit lucky that game because I think, you know, Andrew Hainault could have got a red card in the first half, but he didn't. And luckily we went on. We scored off a free kick. Andrew Hainault scored. We scored. Will Bruin scored a later goal. And then Kofi's third goal in that game was it was a great goal, but the crowd reaction for me was just absolutely stunning. One of those breathtaking moments when you're sitting on the bench, you kind of realize you're not in the game anymore. You're part of something special. It was amazing.
He's Dominic Kinnear, led the Dynamo to two titles in 2006 and 2007, currently with Cincinnati in Major League Soccer as an assistant coach. So, Dom, let me ask you, because I'm really interested in this. You've been a head coach for such a long time. Now you go back to being an assistant. Was that an adjustment? Because, you know, you're going full circle here.
Yeah, it was. I mean, When I got let go from San Jose in the middle of 2017, I was only out of a job for about a month, and I went and became assistant coach with Ziggy Schmidt in L.A. for a year and a half. And he was one of the few guys that I would have definitely been an assistant coach to. I've known Ziggy since I was a teenager. I just had a ton of respect for him. Yes. Then it became almost like, hey, staying involved, hoping to get another look as a head coach, interviewed for probably more jobs than I can remember, didn't get any. And then it kind of came to the point where I was out of work in 2021, and I wanted to get back into the game, you know. So, and I was still interviewing for some head coaching jobs and didn't get a chance. And then, I called Chris Albright and just asked him if Pat Noonan would want an assistant coach, maybe a little bit of experience. And that conversation took a positive turn, and it landed me in Cincinnati. And I will say, being out of a job in 2021, but I was keeping my eye on MLS a little bit, probably too closely, I fell in love with coaching again. And Pat, for me, is a great coach. He's very motivated, very driven, very organized, very knowledgeable. And I really enjoy working with him. Assistant coaching, the pressure and the stress is a heck of a lot different. And I enjoy it. You know, I've worked with some great players over the years here. We've had some great success. The infrastructure and the ownership involvement with FC Cincinnati is something I haven't seen up close, well, except for, you know, Philip Anschutz. In this league, it's a great soccer market. I mean, it's an unbelievable home atmosphere. And I feel very lucky to be working with Pat and Chris. It's been a great ride so far.
Yeah, it looks amazing on TV the times that I've seen it. Let me go back to not getting rehired, because you're a guy with incredible credentials. And if you don't want to answer this, you don't have to. But what do you think it was? Why don't you? I mean, is it just, do we term limit out and our shelf life is over? I mean, what? I mean, in my case, that's true, but I don't know about you. You won two titles. What is it?
You know, I just think sometimes your face doesn't fit. I think maybe I had the reputation of being old school and maybe a little bit outdated, which is fine. You know, like if I was a finalist for a couple of jobs, and for some organizations, I would call and wouldn't even get an interview, you know, saying that they didn't want to go down that road, which I didn't know what that road was, you know, because I've tried to face all my coaching and whatever else I'm winning. But for a little while, and I'll be honest with you, because I've known you for a long time, it ate me up inside, because I would see people get jobs that I didn't think that were, you know, as good a coach as I was. But I wasn't the one making the decisions. And I think when it came to when I got the assistant coach's job here in Cincinnati, I let it go. You know, and it's almost like you can only control what you can control. And even though I've talked to a couple teams since I've been here in Cincinnati and it didn't happen, I'm okay with it, you know. And I understand the game moves on. It becomes more modern. There's more tactics. The language changes, the different training methods. And I'm learning as I'm sitting here as an assistant coach, which is one of the best things about it. Is even at 57 years old, I'm still learning a lot of things, which I think if I have ever given a chance again, it would make me a better coach. So, but I've let go a little bit of the frustration and the bitterness, and I just kind of sit back and really enjoy what I'm doing now.
Well, I'm sure that's the competitor in you, and sometimes I have to, with the new language, whip out the Webster's. I mean, not Webster's, Chat GPT. Sorry, ChatGPT, to get the definition of some of these words. Dom, this was awesome. Really nice to catch up with you. Wonderful to hear your voice, your history, your legacy, you're iconic here in Houston. That'll never change. And thank you very much for coming on. And I'd love to do this again sometime with you, because I think there's a lot more we could talk about.
It's been the highlight of my day talking to you, Glenn, and I'm available for you anytime you want.
Man, you must have had a boring day, Dom. Thanks for coming on tonight. I loved it.
Thanks, Glenn. My pleasure.
All you. Right. Dominic Kinnear, FC Cincinnati. By the way, they got a 1-0 win in their first game. They've got a striker Dom was telling me about off-air, Kevin Denke, who is really, really dangerous. All right, we're going to come back. We're going to do a little hit with Jack McGlynn. I spoke to him today here about Inter Miami, Leo Messi. Right now, I do want to remind you, though, Hugh O'Connor's Pub, I-10 in the Marquee Entertainment Center, Liverpool supporters group out there, great place to watch games. Get out there. It is Hugh O'Connor's Pub, and they got a location in West University, too, on Dinkins. We got some exciting news. I can't let it out of the bag yet, but we are definitely going to get that new news out, hopefully in the next week or two. All right, here we go. Caller number 4, 713-780-3776. Caller number 4. You get a pair of tickets to see the Houston Dynamo take on Inter Miami and Lionel Messi on Sunday.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back. I will just tell you, the phone lines blew up like there was no tomorrow for these Lionel Messi Inter-Miami-Houston Dynamo tickets. I'm going to let you know, we're going to give one more pair away tonight. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in tonight. And keep that handy for tickets, because I'll give another pair out before this show is over tonight. We want to roll, had a little exchange today with Jack McGlynn, the young, talented Houston Dynamo midfielder. They acquired him for $2.1 million. I think he could be a key to the game in transition against Inter-Miami with some balls over distance, something to keep an eye on with Inter-Miami attacking and likely going to get a lot of the ball against the Dynamo. So here's the exchange with Jack McGlynn. This happened earlier today. And, of course, he was the pickup from the Houston Dynamo for $2.1 million and, of course, hit the post in that game as well. Yeah, so McGlynn is going to be a key in this game. Do we have that?
Time in his.
Yeah, here we go. Here we go. Jack McGlynn.
And I think that responsibility for him is a little bit new, but he's not going to be phased by it. You know, I've only known him a little bit. But
okay, this is Jack McGlynn. This is Ben Olsen talking about Jack McGlynn.
I know a lot of people that know him and his character, and I think he's excited about this opportunity to be on the ball a lot and really make the game for us. So looking forward to helping him grow and get to where he wants to be, and whether that's, you know, with the national team or is that in Europe, those are all goals for a lot of young players, and being a part of, you know, helping him grow is we're going to enjoy that process.
So that was Ben Olsen talking about Jack McGlynn. And here, you know what? We're going to save the McGlynn stuff for tomorrow. I'll tell you what, Abigail, let's save that for tomorrow. I want to go to the synopsis of the Dynamo victory. And here's a little piece we put together. It's about a minute long. It's got the goal calls. And here's what it kind of sounded like on the local call on Apple TV.
2025 Major League Soccer season is underway for the Houston Dynamo and FC Dallas.
McGlynn. Big switch of play, Dorsey. Big part of the Dynamo attack and bringing them width on the right side. Back to Dorsey. Dorsey flips it in, the header! It's 1-0 Houston Dynamo. They follow it up. They open their account. It is Amin Bassi, the Moroccan magician, who fires the arrow home. It's McGlynn off the post. Jack McGlynn with heavy metal. To the far post it goes. Still not over this play.
From the Nittany Lions of Penn State.
That's a bad giveaway. And it's 1-1. Ethan Bartlow coughed it up.
Ladero whips it to the feet of McGlynn. McGlynn turns away. It looked like a free kick. He had to have gotten tucked. Watch out. It's 1-on-1. Torbell's off his line. There's an empty net. Oh, no.
And it's hit. This one may get looked at. Anderson Julio has put FC Dallas up.
We have hit the four-minute mark, and that's it.
FC Dallas and Eric Quill have come into Shell Energy Stadium tonight here, have scored two second-half goals on his MLS debut as a head coach. Gets a huge 3 points here, and FC Dallas will get a 2-1 victory over the Houston Dynamo to the delight of their fans here.
So that's it sounded on the local call, and if you want to hear the local call, and I believe we're going to be doing that, obviously, on Sunday when Lionel Messi comes here. So super excited about that. You should be excited. Well, you know why? Because I'm going to give another pair of tickets out right now. Caller number three, 713-780-3776. Caller number three at 713-780-3776 right now. You get a pair of tickets to the Houston Dynamo Inter-Miami match. So light up those boards. And, of course, it's going to be big on Sunday. By the way, it also includes Luis Suarez, Jordi Alba, Javier Mascherano is now the head coach of Inter-Miami, who, of course, played with Lionel Messi. He's only 40 years of age. So they're coming in with a lot of big guns. I reminded you that they are 7 o'clock tonight playing Sporting Kansas City. So Messi's going to be on his fourth game in 11 or 12 days. And if there was ever a guy that was economical with this movement, it's Lionel Messi. I would also say check out Twitter, at GlenDavisSoc. I put up a video of a short corner that they took. It's pretty remarkable. And it's something the Dynamo are going to have their antennas up. And I mean, they are going to have to, their level of concentration has to be off the charts against this team because of the quality of some of those players we just mentioned that are out there. But one of the interesting things is that dead ball situations, Messi, this game against New York City FC takes a short one. He's now off the corner, and a guy's marking him, and he whips the ball to the top of the box to the feet of one of his teammates. As he does that, the guy who's marking him now is watching the ball go towards the top of the box, forgets about Messi, who's now on his blind side, and Messi explodes and makes a run into a gap of space where the ball's threaded to him. He then squares it back. He takes a little contact from outside of him, and they score a goal. But the set pieces, the ingenuity, the creativity, these are things that are really, really going to have to be watched by the Houston Dynamo in this matchup against LAFC. All right, since this was a big opening MLS weekend, I'm going to whip through some results. LAFC 1-0 over Minnesota. New signing Jeremy Obobese getting one in the 78th there. It's a debut for him. It's a goal for him. He comes from San Jose to LAFC. Atlanta 3-2 over Montreal. Their new big signing, Latte Lath, gets two in that game. It's a new-look Atlanta United. Miggy Almiron had an assist. He comes back, 60,000-plus people. Cincinnati, Kevin Denke, we mentioned before, big, bustling, powerful forward. He gets the lone goal, 1-0 victory over New York Red Bulls. Columbus got a 4-2 victory over Chicago. Greg Berhalter debut in Chicago, loses to his former team, Columbus. Diego Rossi gets a pair for Columbus. Gutierrez, two for Chicago. But it's Columbus 4-2 over Chicago. They're still one of the better teams in the league, no question. D.C. United, 2-2 with Toronto. Biggest secret in D.C. is Christian Benteke. He had a goal in that game. Bernadeschi for Toronto. Inter-Miami, 2-2 with New York City FC. We talked about that. Orlando lost 4-2 to Philly. Philly rips off four goals. By the way, there's a couple teams in MLS that came into the weekend with four-goal games. I'm trying to remember who it was. It was Chicago, Orlando, Portland. Not Chicago. Sorry. It was Columbus, Orlando, Portland, and Real Salt Lake, who all started their first game of the year with four goals. So that's pretty exciting for those teams to break out of the blocks. We had two 0-0 games, Nashville, New England, St. Louis, Colorado, Boersville, San Jose, 4-0 over Real Salt Lake. Four different goal scorers. Bruce Arena gets the win over RSL and his former international player, Pablo Mastroeni. Seattle 2-2 with Charlotte. Jordan Morris, you know, everybody, oh, Jordan Morris this, Jordan Morris that. The guy still scores every year. We may not know how to define him as a player, but he got two for Seattle. 2-2 with Charlotte. Vancouver 4-1 over Portland. Portland had an early ejection in that one. Four different goal scorers. Ryan Gauld got one of those. Pedro Vite scored a spectacular goal in that game. And then San Diego, the expansion team, 2-0 over the LA Galaxy. They make history. No, Chucky Lozano didn't score. He had an assist, but there was a mistake at the back in this one, much like in the Dynamo game. Anders Dreyer, who nobody probably knows. Well, you know him now. He's a Danish guy. He had two goals for them. Tim Ream, big quote, said this about Mauricio Pochettino, the new U.S. manager. He said, Pochettino just brings an intensity and focus in everything that he does. He's going to evolve us. He'll improve us in ways we want to play, in our transitions, in our movements, in our rotations, trying to confuse opposition with different setups. And that was Tim Ream, the veteran, on Mauricio Pochettino, who, quite frankly, could make it to another World Cup, Tim Ream. Center back position's one that's, there's some thoughts around those areas of the team. UEFA Champions League, Bruges and Aston Villa, Real Madrid, Atletico Madrid. Incredible that they get matched up. PSV and Arsenal. By the way, if you're Real Madrid, that's not the game you want. You don't want Atletico Madrid in the Champions League. And I'm calling it here now. Atletico Madrid upsets Real Madrid. Arsenal, PSV, Dortmund and Lille, Feyenoord of the Netherlands against Inter Milan of Italy. And then here's another one, number one and two in the Bundesliga, Bayern Munich against Leverkusen. These rivalry games take on a little different level of presence when it's then contested in a UEFA Champions League round of 16. Barcelona-Benfica. Barcelona scores goals. They also give them up. Hansi Flick. And then PSG and Liverpool. So these are what's going to happen in the UEFA Champions League. Some great matchups there. Then you got the Europa League, Real Sociedad, Manchester United. By the way, if you don't watch the Europa League, you miss some really good stuff because you then get to see some teams you don't normally watch. So if you're simply taking the cherry off the cake, watching the Real Madrids and the Barcelonas and the Bayern Munichs and the Liverpools, you miss out on some stuff. There's some great games, and there's some players you learn about that you then find out ultimately get bought and sold because of performance and end up on some of these bigger teams. But you knew about them earlier. Fenerbahce of Turkey against Rangers. We're going to get the president of Fenerbahce on this show, Ali Koç, who I know in the future. So Fenerbahce and Rangers, Victoria Plzeň against Lazio, Ajax, Eintracht Frankfurt, Steaua Bucharest, a.k.a. FCSB against Lyon. AZ Alkmaar against Tottenham, Bodo Glimt against Olympiakos of Greece, Roma and Athletic Club. Of course, Roma is owned by the Friedkin Group, Dan Friedkin here in Houston. So there you go. Most identifiable athlete in the world. He's going to be here in Houston, Texas. We got about a minute left in the show here tonight. Big thank you to everybody tuning in. By the way, Cristiano Ronaldo's in that discussion because of his social media presence as well. He's a little out of sight, out of mind in Saudi Arabia. Neymar still, despite not really playing a lot, he still remains big. Mo Salah, I think, in the world of soccer. Kylian Mbappe, Vinny Jr., I think they all fit in. In other sports, you know, when I was looking this up today, I saw a guy, a golfer named John Rahm, who I don't know because I'm not a golf guy, even though I appreciate the sport. Guy made $218 million last year. Never heard of him. Long term, it's Tiger Woods, Jack Nicholson in golf. I think a new tennis player is Carlos Alcaraz. Simone Biles, maybe. Patrick Mahomes. There you go. There's a few. Big shout out to the Clemson baseball team. In between innings, these guys went into the crowd, thanked a bunch of veterans. Pretty cool move. That's something that gets initiated by the coach of that team at Clemson. I don't know his name. I should know it. Clemson baseball coach. That's going to do it tonight here for Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Big thank you to Abigail Hong behind the glass. You can get the podcast of this show at both Spotify, also on Apple Podcasts. And, of course, don't forget, we go again this Thursday. More messy tickets to give out. Congratulations to those who got the win tonight here calling in on those tickets. We'll continue the discussion Joining me on the show will be Nico Lodero, and we're going to talk about the World Cup and the Dynamo and many things with Nico Lodero, who has represented Uruguay in two World Cups. That does it tonight for Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. I'm Glenn Davis. Remember, soccer matters.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. The world of fast fashion has complicated clothing production by outsourcing around the world to whoever can sew them the cheapest. And now you, the consumer, are paying the price with rising costs. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. So when you buy from American Giant, you're taking a stand for hardworking people, local communities, and quality clothes. American Giant directly supports American manufacturers and ensures you aren't footing that tariff bill. Support American-made tariff-free clothing with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.